The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, October 29th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, the U.S. Trade Representative is considering bringing a complaint against China to the WTO. Also, NASA and FSA are still trying to figure out a computer glitch that led to revisions yesterday in the October crop production and WASDE report. We'll have these and other stories, and Todd Gleason will be by to examine how the world credit crunch is impacting commodity prices. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Here are how prices settled in Kansas City and Chicago this Wednesday afternoon. In Kansas City, December wheat, $5.98, up 44 and three quarters. March, $6.16, up 44 and three quarters. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat, $5.61 and a quarter, up 47 and a quarter. March, $5.81 and a quarter, up 47 and a quarter. May, $5.95, up 47 and a half. December corn, $4.20 and three quarters, up 30. March, $4.38 and a quarter, up 30. May, $4.50, up 30. July, $4.60 and three quarters. Quarters up 30. November beans, 937 and a quarter, up 58 and a half. January, 947, up 59. March at 959 and a quarter, up 59 and a half. May, 969 and a half, up 59 and three quarters. December soybean meal, 283, up 16.20. December soybean oil, 34.33, up 245. October live cattle, 91.65, up 190. October feeders, 95.80, up 25. And December lean hogs at 57.57 and a half, down 47 and a half on the day. And those are the settlement prices today in Kansas City and Chicago. Taking a look at outside markets for you, December crude oil is at 67.25, up 4.52. November ethanol settled at 183 and 8 tenths, up 11 and 6 tenths. December 182 and 2 tenths, up 11 and 9 tenths. November natural gas settled at 648, up 29 and 4. December at 679 and 2, up 37 and 6. The November RBOB at 153, up 7 and 45. And the December at 150.42, and that's up 9 and 47. November heating oil at 20005, it's up now 9 and 10. Taking a look at some of the hard metal contracts, the silver contract for December settling at 980 and 5 tenths, and it's up $1 and 5 tenths, while the December gold contract settled at 754, and it was up 1350 on the day. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's forecast tonight, he says look for clear skies, lows ranging from 28 in northeastern Indiana to 38 in west central and southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow sunny, and highs ranging from 56 in northeastern Indiana to 68 in western Illinois. The extended forecast, we are entering a prolonged period of open weather for harvest operations. Models indicate dry or at least mostly dry weather will continue through at least during the daylight hours next Tuesday. After today, average to above average temperatures are expected through the middle of next week. Temperatures may then turn cooler later next week. Joining us now for a look at the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois. Good morning. Good afternoon, Paul.
Tip of the hat on a good day today in the commodity world, and hopefully it'll turn out to be a good day in the financial stock market as well, Dave.
Very much a day where it looked to me like rising tides lifted all boats.
Yeah, it's been a scary 45 days, so to speak, and it's aged us all in the financial business. Some of my shrewd customers call up and say, you know, there's bargains galore out there in the financial world, the commodity markets and the stock markets and in trading. And today was obviously, and yesterday were bargain days.
Seems to me the linchpin of it all might have been the U.S. dollar, which pretty much this morning gave away quite a bit and has held up pretty much all day. And most people got what they wanted with the 50% rate cut, half a point rate cut from the Fed this afternoon.
Well, and, you know, there's been some complete realignments of different currencies and financial problems, you know, in China and Japan and other parts of the world. And it seems like the over-speculation by the hedge funds, not only here in the U.S., but around the world, hopefully will be corrected in future years with some legislation that will put some teeth in over-speculating.
So turn your attention then to the commodities, and let me ask you what the technical action in the corn implies for the balance of the week.
Well, that's good news, and it probably means that if an index fund needed to get out, wanted it to get out, or if there was anybody in business wanted to lighten up, they had their opportunity yesterday and today. So that's good news. And we know from past 35 years in the commodity business that oscillation that shows a lot of trade at the top or trade at the bottom indicates a bottom or a top. And, you know, hopefully we're getting close to that in the commodities and the financial world and that type of thing. And basically it's hurt foreign producers a lot worse than it's hurt the U.S. producer, we hope. And as a result of that, we hear about financial problems galore in Argentina and Brazil, a lack of inputs, and probably a smaller production that could occur in those countries with the right kind of weather than they had last year. So, you know, it costs a lot to raise a crop in Brazil, and the inputs like fertilizer is expensive. And so they're cutting back on fertilizer, and it's quite warm down in Argentina or Brazil. It's been dry, and we continue to see good buying power by China. The farmer is a strong holder of soybeans, and, of course, the soybean crush margins here in the U.S. and China are good to excellent. And the other thing that I think is most important is that a smaller bean crop, I think, is also in the offing, and I think that with an oversold condition, and I think today's market confirms that to a great extent. So those are good news, good foundations for the soybean market.
Let's try to take some of what you're saying back to the charts. Let's look at December corn, which managed to today and yesterday to blow through its 10 and 20-day moving averages. There's a little congestion band around the 430 area of the current move that we've been in since the beginning of October, and that congestion band actually dates all the way back to October and November of 07. Is there enough enthusiasm in this market to push through there?
Yeah. Well, you know, as I say, I think the longs have been liquidated, and I think the livestock industry should be feeling better, and that's a big factor. The thing that concerns me most is there are rumors that that the ethanol industry, one large player, needs some help, and hopefully something will be done, or they'll be back in business in some form quickly, because we do need the demand from corn into ethanol, because that's where the real game in the corn industry is going to be played. It also probably means that the bigger corn acreage for next year, with the higher inputs here in the U.S. and around the world, are probably it'll be hard to bid for a lot more acres next year. So in that respect, the corn does have some hope down the road. And at the same time, there's going to be new ethanol plants coming on board, and that's also going to take care of the demand in the corn market. But the big factor in corn is it's an expensive commodity to plant, and that's going to be one of the benefits keeping corn prices where it is, because at some point in time, you know, demand will improve for corn and improve prices down the road. Basis levels improved. Freights, it's easy to move corn around to the better markets. So it's going to be a grain trader's dream to buy corn and ship it to the highest market. And with cheap freight, that's an easy job to do.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a profitable day, and nice talking to you on this beautiful October afternoon.
Yes, sir. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can receive a podcast of this broadcast and all of our agricultural broadcasts. Go to our website at WILLAG.org. And go to the right navigation window and click on the podcast link.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab says the U.S. may soon file a case at the World Trade Organization against China's use of subsidies for its textile producers. Schwab says she has informed the Chinese Commerce Ministry that unless China eliminates certain Chinese textile subsidy programs, the U.S. is prepared to bring a case against those subsidies at the WTO. Current U.S. quotas on Chinese textile imports expire on December 31st. National Agricultural Statistics Service officials and Farm Service Agency employees are still trying to learn how a glitch in computer systems led to incorrect estimates in the October 10th crop production and WASDE reports. NAS issued a revised report yesterday, which cut corn and soybean planted and harvest acreage. Numbers in the FSA mainframe were correct, but acreage figures are corrupted for the northern corn and soybean belts during transmission to a DataMart computer system that NAS draws on to produce the crop reports. NAS Deputy Administrator Carol House says the data discrepancy was discovered last week.
FSA analysts and some of the NAS analysts began to talk. In particular, an FSA analyst asked the NAS analyst, why was our historical relationship with the farmer reported acreage data so different than it had been in the past?
NAS believes the glitch was a one-time occurrence. FSA officials looked at 2007 report data and found no discrepancies. World Agricultural Outlook Board Chairman Gerald Bange yesterday tried to deflect criticism.
There was a problem with the data coming out of the Farm Services Agency, where the data on their mainframe database was not in concurrence with what they have in their user-friendly database.
USDA has reported the incident to regulators at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and the Securities and Exchange Commission, and has briefed staffers for the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. FSA officials say they have frozen the corrupted databases and are examining its software and transfer procedures in an effort to discover what went wrong. FSA says it is also bringing in outside sources to examine its control procedures. FSA has a few months to correct the problem. NAS likely will not draw again on FSA acreage numbers until the January final crop estimates report. If the cause of the glitch is not discovered by then, Bangi says NAS will pull figures directly from the FSA mainframe, a process that NAS officials say is less user-friendly. Monsanto officials are defending the company's decision not to lower seed prices, even though corn and soybean futures suggest some producers will lose money growing grains in 2009. Stuart Doan has more.
Monsanto's best-performing DeKalb brand corn hybrids will cost around $300 a bag, and new Roundup Ready to Yield soybeans will be priced $18 to $22 an acre higher than the top Roundup Ready varieties. According to Executive Vice President Brett Begeman, the company's seeds and traits pricing is determined in part by a three-year moving average of crop prices.
Farmers will make a choice between now and when they plant next spring. And our job is to ensure that we're putting products on their farm that create more value for them. And if we do that, then they'll choose our seed.
In a wide-ranging interview, Begeman said he's confident that farmers will be able to obtain adequate operating credit from traditional sources, and therefore Monsanto sees no need to finance customers' seed purchases.
We're not a bank, and that's not the business that we're in. And quite frankly, I don't think we'd be very good at it.
The value of Monsanto's stock has fallen by more than a third since July, but Begeman said the downturn would not delay its planned launch of 8-gene SmartStax corn in 2010 or the first drought-tolerant corn in 2012. I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
South Korean sources report that South Korea imported just under $44 million of U.S. beef in September, about 43% of all beef imports. Australian beef tonnage for September was 52%, down from 72% in May, a month before Seoul dropped a ban against U.S. beef imports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
Slow economic growth around the globe is putting pressure on farmers in the U.S. Todd Gleason files this report on the credit crunch and its impact on commodity prices.
The problems on Wall Street have shown up in rural America. U.S. farmers in the Midwest depend on domestic and world demand for their top crops, wheat, soybeans, and of course corn. The economic slowdown in the U.S. economy, and now engulfing the rest of the planet, has pushed demand for those crops down, says University of Illinois Extension ag economist Darrell Good.
As economies slow, not only domestically but worldwide, unemployment increases, consumer incomes come under pressure, then that raises real concern about not only food demand but also energy demand, of course. And as energy demand softens and gasoline prices come down, ethanol prices come down, and the price that ethanol producers can afford to pay for corn comes down. So, you know, tried to emphasize that the real implication is on the demand side of the ag commodities.
Well, the problems on Wall Street were coming to a head just about the same time traders in Chicago realized the supply side concerns evident earlier in the season, when too much rain was flooding farm fields, were no longer valid.
All of a sudden, all of the supply concerns that we had were dissipating. Supply is bigger than we anticipated. And at least from early September on, that coincided with the decline in the financial markets and the growing concern about demand for agricultural commodities. And so we got that 1-2 punch.
Ample supplies now being harvested, pow, and Wall Street falling apart, boom. It's a bit difficult to separate out the price impact of each, but it is possible.
One way to do that is to look at the livestock markets and say, you know, really since early September, we've seen about a 15% decline in livestock prices. We've probably, most of that attributed to demand worries. So we can probably say about 15% decline in corn and soybean prices. since the 1st of September have been the result of this demand concern.
That means the other half of the losses in the corn market from September through mid-October, they were down more than 30%, can be attributed to the losses on Wall Street. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with a look at the cash grain market is Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons from Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's been quite a volatile day or so, if you include the overnight, on the futures market. And based on what I'm looking at over DTN, it looks like the volatility has spilled over to the cash market as well.
It has. Here in Indiana, with our heavy presence of the corn processor, especially on the ethanol side, but we also with, say, Staley, Tate & Lyle, we've seen the basis improvement basically go from the eastern side of the state now trickling out to the west side. A lot of the processors, they're on the east side with their with so many being so close together and not enough corn there, and then also maybe a poor yield on that side of the state. We've seen guys pay some pretty big overs for some corn, that's corn coming in here at harvest. Just a little worried that they're not going to fill their allotted space here, and they don't really want to miss anything. And now that's affecting us here on the western side of the state, and it's also even affecting the rail market in this part of the Corn Belt, too.
Are you getting much more corn in from farmers willing to let it go beyond what they've already hedged at this point?
You know, it's an education process because right now we're bumping up to where guys, you know, the first amount of their bushels came in to fill contracts. Now guys are finishing their second phase of their harvest by filling their own space. And now, you know, this third, the last third of the crop needs to find a home. And it's either going to go to the elevator on DP or on basis. And we're a little challenged here at Climbers being a processor. We don't offer DP, but we do offer pretty stout basis. So just educating guys about putting that on basis. And, you know, guys aren't locking into the futures price or the cash prices by any means, but they are either putting on basis or putting in some type of storage program.
I would think that a lot of farmers are not going to let any of their crop go, any more of their crop go than necessary until they see a five again.
That's exactly right. I think until we maybe see high fours, the low fives, guys aren't really going to let anything go until maybe they have to. You know, they'll probably have to here the first year, even if we don't see those numbers, just to help pay some of their input costs and their other costs of living. But until, you know, and with, until we see that, guys just aren't happy with these numbers and aren't going to let anything go.
So what are you doing to try to entice producers to go ahead and give up a little grain? You offering some premiums?
Yeah, with us being a processor, we're able to pay probably a little more than train shippers. Delphi, our other Delphi facility is a train shipper, so we have a pretty good grasp on what train values are worth and what elevators really can make money by putting trains to the facility. So we're able to capitalize on that and offer just enough premium to the producer to entice that grain to come here and just educate guys to put that on basis if they're still bullish to board. There are some guys who are letting it go at cash values who are, you know, down and out about this board, and probably rightfully so with some of the actions until here earlier this week that we've seen. But the guys who are able to hold on are bullish aboard, and they want to stay bullish aboard and thinking that we're going to get an acres battle here this spring to help this board price out a little bit.
Very quickly, your prices today.
Price on corn, 401. Price on beans in Delphi, 907.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons. He is in Delphi, Indiana. In just 2 minutes, we'll have our look at the agricultural weather. It's oatmeal day. Oats were the last of the major cereal grains to be domesticated around 3,000 years ago in Europe. Part of the reason why people were slow to embrace oats is because they go rancid quickly due to the presence of natural fats and a fat-dissolving enzyme that requires quick processing after harvest. On this day in agricultural history in 1872, an all-metal windmill was patented by J.S. Risdon. The all-steel windmill was unpopular at first, because of expense and the perception that an all-metal windmill would be much more difficult to maintain and repair than a wood windmill. In a few years, with a large marketing effort, all-metal windmills were finally accepted, and eventually, wooden windmills were phased out. In 1929, it's Black Tuesday of the great stock market crash. About 16 million shares were traded on Black Tuesday, a record that was not eclipsed until 1968. And all the market lost $14 billion on Black Tuesday and $30 billion during a three-day trading session. That was 10 times the annual budget of the federal government. And in 1947, the first successful cloud seeding with dry ice took place at Concord, New Hampshire. Ironically, natural rainfall immediately following the seeding made it impossible to measure the artificial rainfall total. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
If I open my window, I imagine I can hear the rumbling of combines. Am I right?
I hope you can, because if not, they're going to be sorry they aren't running those things right now, because a week from now it's going to be a mess again. And that's probably the most important part of the forecast coming up. We've got a several-day period here in front of us where conditions are just about ideal for getting some aggressive field work accomplished. I don't see any real significant precipitation coming up. We did go through a period there where it was pretty darn cold outside, and that was limiting some of our drying rates, but that is changing. We're seeing a warm-up take place now. The next few days we should see a lot of sunshine. The earliest that we're going to see precipitation cross over the Mississippi River will probably be sometime Tuesday night or early Wednesday, or maybe Tuesday, we'll just say a Tuesday. And the precipitation that comes across initially will be kind of light and sporadic and mostly confined to Illinois, maybe a few areas in western Michigan. But as we go a little deeper into the week next week, that rain will become much more widespread and a bit more persistent, and our temperatures will tumble once again. So we are probably looking at about 5 to 6 days worth of very good field working opportunity, and then the conditions will start to deteriorate again. Of course, the western Corn Belt will probably see that deterioration take place a little bit quicker, with some of the areas in the far west where it's still pretty wet from the last round of rain picking up on the next bout of precipitation as early as Saturday night, more likely Sunday and Monday.
A portion of the corn crop is hanging on for dear life, Drew, has shallow root systems. We were hearing some reports of lodging already. Traders are beginning to talk about the potential for lodging. What can you tell us about the wind?
Well, it does look like we're going to see another round of windy conditions as the storm system next week evolves, but we've got a good number of days in front of us here before that takes place. Probably Sunday and Monday will be the windier days in the western Corn Belt, and for the eastern Corn Belt, probably Monday into Tuesday, and the speeds at that time probably get into the 30-35-mile-an-hour gust range again, and possibly a little bit higher. But it doesn't look quite as nasty as it was earlier this week. So we will definitely see some wind ahead of that storm system. And as the cool air comes in, it doesn't look like it's going to be quite like it was earlier this week, in the sense that we're not going to see the 50 and 60 mile an hour gusts that occurred. But we will still have breezy conditions as cooling takes place at midweek next week.
As I turn my attention to South America, it appears to me that it is Buenos Aires that has been a net winner in the moisture department.
Absolutely. Buenos Aires picked up 1 to 2 inches and then some over the past 2 days, and winter wheat there down that way is reproducing and filling. It's a perfect time for that kind of rainfall to occur. Also, they're still trying to get some of the corn to go into the ground in some of that region down there, so a very, very good environment evolving for a big part of that particular province. Now, some areas off to the west in Argentina are still struggling with some pockets of dryness. I don't think any of it is critical at this point in time, but we're still early in the season, and all it's going to take is a few days of hot weather, and they may be crying a lot louder for rain. So we'll keep an eye on those westernmost areas in that country, but the rest of Argentina is doing okay.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to willag.org. This is Dave Dickey.